Then I got married. I married and I was working domestically when I got married.
Now, how did you meet your husband? Were you still living in your family house, in your grandmother's house?
Mm-hmm, Miss Gafford. Then they used to have the little clubs down the south end and stuff. And he was a dancer. Mm-hmm. He tap danced. Him and his buddy, they used to dance. Oh, they could dance, dance, dance. And every year, they would go to Canada, he and his buddy.
Oh.
And I went to some dance or something, and I met him. Mm-hmm. That's how I met him. We got married.
So were they at vaudeville performance?
My nightclub performance, yeah. And he worked in a garage here on Fairfield Avenue. It was called the Blue Ribbon Garage.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he worked for years. Benny, I don't know if the garage is gone and Benny's gone, I know, but he worked there at Benny's Garage, the Blue Ribbon Garage on Fairfield Avenue. And then in September, they would go out like on the road with a road show, and they would go to Canada and they'd make big money. In fact, Reverend, one of the, they had two girls, two women with them. You know, they was young. And one of them is Bishop Moles. That's the bishop of the church there on the corner, the big church on the corner of Connecticut and, no, Stratford Avenue.
Oh, yes.
His niece was one of the girls that used to dance, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Betty's been dead. She's been dead for years. But they were dancers, and that's how I met him.
But he was here living in Bridgeport.
Oh, yeah,
you were,
yeah,
at that time in Stratford.
Stratford, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at some point you had gone from Milford down to Stratford.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you met him when he performed in Stratford or somewhere around here?
Performing in Bridgeport.
Right.
Not in Stratford, but in Bridgeport, yeah.
So you were able to go to neighboring towns for...
Not me.
When you were off, no?
Not me.
How did you get to the performance? Was it...
Well, I used to be, three or four of us used to be housemaids, you know. And on Thursdays, on our day off, we'd get together and we'd go and go there. Yeah, it was Daisy and Lottie. There was four or five of us. We'd go in a group. Yeah.
What was your social life like back then when you were pretty much an adult at that point? You were back in Stratford living in your family's house, and you said you were working. Did you belong to the church? Did you make friends from the neighborhood? Or?
I belonged to the church. I was in the missionaries. I was in the fashion shows. And my grandmother was a big missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I have called, carried. We're living on the top of the hill in Stratford. Still have the family homestead. You know where Holy Names Church is?
Mm-hmm.
Top of the hill there.
Oh.
That's the family homestead. Can you imagine walking from there down to Avon Park, past St. Michael's Cemetery and stuff like that, carrying clothes and food?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
That's what we did. I had to do that, too.
For your missionary work?
Mm-hmm, missionary work. Wow. And then we used to, in them days, they used to serve dinners, you know, sell dinners at the church. And I guess dinners weren't that high, but they'd be maybe 50 people come for dinner, and they had to be served. So I was one of the waitresses. And then when they get ready to give a fashion show, I'm one of the models.
Now, what were these fashion shows all about?
Clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Latest style.
Through the church, or?
For the church.
Oh, for the church.
For the church. Raise money for the church.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Interesting. Now, your granddaughter told me that you've always been interested in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the places you started to get interested, or you
I like clothes.
Were able to show your talent?
I like clothes. And I was able to get them, you know. It might take me 6 weeks or 7 weeks to get something, but I would get them. But I like clothes. I like nice things.
Mm-hmm.
I like nice things.
Now, when you married your husband, you settled here in Bridgeport?
In Bridgeport, yeah. We moved down the south end.
And what year? Excuse me.
I don't even know what year it was. I know I was down there in 1939 when we had the hurricane.
So it's in the 1930s?
Yeah, yeah, in the 30s, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
we lived with his mother.
Oh, how was that?
Good, because she was a lovely lady. And I could do no wrong. She always She was nice to me. She didn't do much housework. Mm-hmm. But she was nice, you mm-hmm. know. She was in the church, too. She was in Bethel Church. That's a Methodist church. Okay. And they would come. They'd go to church all day Sunday. And Monday, they would hash over what went on Sunday. And they would come to her house. Well, now, she could have been up there doing some work or something. But they would sit with coffee. This was during the Depression. And they'd sit. The minister would come by, too.
Oh, my goodness.
And Reverend Reverend Collins. And he'd come by, and they'd have, just was during the Depression, they'd have probably homemade biscuits and coffee. And they'd sit some time from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just talking Bible, talking, you know, church and everything. And nothing getting done.
She wasn't accustomed to scrubbing the cellar stairs, I
think. No, not at all. Not at all. And I'd say, my God, you've been in church all day Sunday and all day Monday. So that's how it was. But as I say, she was good to me. And then she'd Friday, good chicken. Mm. Fried chicken. Fried chicken was Sunday morning breakfast.
Oh my goodness.
I never had anything like that in my life, you know? It was fried chicken for breakfast.
Now, where had she come from?
She was from Georgia.
So she had come up from the South.
Yeah, she was from Georgia. And her husband was from Georgia. My husband was born down in Birmingham.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was a little kid when he came up here. But they were Southerners, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then where were you both working when you got married?
Oh, yeah. As I said, he was at the garage.
Oh, right. He was at the garage.
And I was in domestic work.
And then when did you, I've heard, or you've told me before that you worked at GE.
Oh, I did.
Did you do other jobs before that? Or? Mm-hmm.
No, just domestic. I didn't do anything else, I know. Because how I got into GE, I wasn't looking for no job.
How did that happen? Tell us about that.
Two girls from Milford came, my sister, oldest sister, and a friend of hers. The war had broke out, and they was looking for help. And they lived in Milford, and they wanted to know where the GE was. So they came to my house for me to take them over to the GE so they could get a job. I went with them to show them where the GE was.
Right.
Well, they was all gung-ho, you know, war effort, going to make some money. And I sat there with them, and of course they was being hired and stuff. So the woman at the desk, she says, how about you? She says, wouldn't you like a job? I said, no, I don't want a job. I said, I brought them over. I said, no, I'm not looking for a job. She said, wouldn't you like to help the war effort? I said, I don't have my birth certificate, blah, blah, blah. I'm giving her a song and a dance. My sister says, she was born in Milford. And she says, I'll get her birth certificate when I get off the bus tonight. So she said, oh, she said, you bring your birth certificate tomorrow. I mean, she said, Friday. And she says, you can get hired. She said,
wow.
We do need your birth certificate. So now she can get, who's this? I said, that's my sister. Oh, she said, well, that's no problem. And she said, you come Friday and you got a job. We got outside. She said, give me 50 cents for to get your birth certificate. I don't want no job. I don't want no job. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So I said to the girl at the desk, I said, if I bring my birth certificate, will you give me a job with them? Because I didn't know anybody.
Right.
She says, possibly, yes. You know that didn't happen.
Oh, no.
So Friday came. Got me on my birth certificate. Friday came and it was raining cats and dogs. I said, well, this is a good excuse for not going. So I fooled around, got up early, because I always get up early. I figured I'd use the rain for an excuse. And something said, go on over. So I went over and I was hired. Of course, I didn't get a job with them.
Hmm. Now, what did you do?
I did assembly work.
Was that for
I worked in
munitions or something like that?
No, I didn't work on a war effort. I thought I was. No, I worked on switches. I worked on every kind of switches you got in this room, just about.
Right.
The GE made them. We made switches for everybody.
Right.
Wall switches, light switches, all kind of switches. But they used to go under different names.
Ah.
It would be GE, Waring, Schick. We'd probably make 5 switches, and 4 of them was another manufacturer, and 1 would be GE.
I always suspected that. Interesting. Now, what did your sister do? Or was it 2 of your sisters?
No, 1 sister, one.
And 1 friend.
They were in the war effort. They were over there on bazookas.
Oh, my gosh.
They was over there on CBU Avenue. Mm-hmm. That's where they were really in the war effort. But I stayed in one room, 17 years in one room. I never was transferred out. I did work downstairs for a while on the B floor. And then a job opened up on the C floor. And you could transfer, you could ask for a transfer. And I asked for a transfer. And the foreman, he got hurt. His feelings was hurt because I asked to get out. You know, I didn't have anything against him.
Right.
But I figured it was better for me to go upstairs. I tell you the truth, there was a bunch of black girls working
mm-hmm.
up there, and where I was all white.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be so nice to work with my own kind.
Right.
So I applied for the job upstairs, and I got it upstairs. But Monty, he was so nice. He was a Stratford man. And he felt so bad. He said, "You leaving me?" I said, "Well, Monty, I don't have nothing against you." I said, "But I want to go upstairs." I said, "There's some colored girls upstairs." I said, "I want to go upstairs and work with them." I said, "Go ahead." He said, "But I thought we were treating you all right down here." I said, "You were." I said, "Well, let me go upstairs." I said, "If I don't like it, I'll come back down." "Okay." He said, "Okay." But I never went back down at all. But I stayed there. I went in there in 1943. I come out in 1971.
Oh, my goodness. So you were there for
a long time.
And what was the work environment like when you were there? You started out, it was during the war, so there was lots of activity. But then later on, did it change very much?
Not much, no.
No? Who were some of your co-workers? You must have had some interesting co-workers from all over.
Well, I see some of them once in a while. Now, I had one girl, Italian girl. She was sweet. Kay Bonovich or something like that. And I bumped into her about a year ago in Stop and Shop. And she was a thin like you. And this heavy set woman come up and hugged me. And I said, "Devil is this?" And it was Kay. But she was so nice. We worked on a group. We worked on a dial.
Mm-hmm.
5 girls. I was the last girl on the dial. I took the trays off the thing and everything. But that was one of them. And there was Nancy Saltis. And I still see one now, Marcel. I don't know what Marcel's name is, but she's a gray-haired white girl. They're all white. Marcel. And I still see them. And there's an Italian girl, Loretta. And I sit and talk with Loretta down in the terminal, you know, and she's back and forth. But I didn't have any trouble with it. I only missed 3 days.
Wow.
In all them years.
In all of those years.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very good worker.
Well, I had Michelle's mother come home, because I was working. But she came home from school. She went to Roosevelt School. She was little. And she had a cold. So I, once a month, I took the day off to be with her. I didn't do anything. That was her day. And when I come home from work that night, she had this cold. So I said, "Mommy's not going to work tomorrow. She'll stay home and take care of you." "Okay, Mom." So I did. I got up. She felt pretty good. I got up and went downstairs, made her breakfast for her and everything. And I was downstairs making her breakfast. And I got so sick, and I could hardly get back upstairs. I lived in a village then, down on Marina Village on Broad Street.
Oh.
They had just built them. And I went upstairs to, not on Broad Street, I live in Marina Village over near Ironton Avenue. Why did I say I'm Broad Street? I was nowhere near Broad Street. I used to live there when I first got married.
Mm-hmm.
On Broad Street, but when they built the project over there, up on Ironton Avenue, Bless you.
So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, living over
so
there.
By the time you were working at GE, you had children or just one child?
One child.
Your daughter, and you and your husband were working in what part of the city?
He was a long-distance truck driver. He drove from Providence to New York nights. Mm. Well, he was always on the road. I practically raised her by myself. He was 13 or 14 years on the road, driving nights, and these big trailers. But it was safer than what it is now. These trailers, I'm afraid of them now.
Mm. But everybody is.
But you never heard of any accidents or anything like that. But he drove a, it used to be a factory on Harrison Street that manufactured clothes. And he'd pick up his truck from Providence, and he'd stop at Levine's, it was called, Levine's Coat Factory. And he'd bring his car, his truck from Providence, and they call it a hangar. And he'd stop at Levine's, and they'd pack that truck from Levine's Coat Factory. And they lock those doors, and those doors are not unlocked until they reach the terminal in New York.
Mm.
And that's what he did for 13 or 14 years.
But where you were living in
Marina Village then.
In Marina Village.
Mm-hmm. My daughter was going to Bassett.
And you said that was a project?
Yeah, it was. It was one of the first ones that was built. It was very, very nice. Very nice.
And then did you have to apply to live there, or how did you
where we lived, there was like road type houses. And they built these. Yes, you had to apply for them, because it was supposed to be middle income or low income. I know we barely squeaked by, because when my daughter graduated from high school and my husband and I had separated, I wasn't eligible anymore.
Mm.
So I had to move. Mm-hmm. That's how come I got over to the east side. Yeah, they put you out. You know, they gave you a certain length of time to stay, but after you was over the income, you had to get out, but I guess the all kind of incomes in there now. So it was uneventful. I liked the people. And as I say, I worked. As I say, I was in the GE and I worked, and I'd come home and take care of what I had to do, lock my doors, and that was it.
Now, that sounds like quite a bit, though. You were saying that you've always worked, and clearly you were working while you had a child.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever worry about coordinating your work and raising your child and how to arrange schedules and things like that?
Oh, yes. I used to have a headache every Saturday night, a migraine headache, because I'm a person, I like routine, I say I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to see my husband, then was still partying. And Saturday night was our night to go out and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had clothes to wash, child to take care, the house to clean, and cooking. And by 6:30 Saturday, I was up to here.
Right.
And I would get this blinding headache, trying to get everything all cut and dry. And then on top of that, sometime he would invite people in that I didn't know anything about.
Oh my gosh.
and here would come some of his friends. They used to play records, jazz. And about 5:30 sometime, here would come four or five guys. Well, the spaghetti or whatever I had went. Because sometime I used to cook two kind of meat.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I still do. On Sunday, I roast two kind of meat. So how I did my dinner, I had the meat, and I would cook vegetables to go with the meat.
Mm-hmm.
But the meat was already cooked, so all I had to do was slice the meat, warm with the gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I always did. And he always knew there was something there to eat. And the fellows knew there was something there to eat, too. So sometime my Sunday dinner was gone. Saturday night.
Gosh.
Saturday night, yeah. So I've always, had things planned,
And you had to be very organized.
Yes, organized. Well, I'm still that way. Like my family say, if they want this and they want that, something, some little thing, go ask Aunt Edna. She'll have it. And 2 to 1, it was a button or a pin or anything. They call me, I got it. I call myself a pack rat, but they say, whatever you need, if you can't find it no place, call Aunt Edna. She'll have it.
That sounds like our department at the library a little bit.
So I'll have it. Yeah.
Now, while you were at GE, you stayed there for quite some time, but did other workers come and go, or were there people who worked with you for a long time? Because
some of them girls worked for a long time with me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, on the dial, we worked 5 years of us on the dial. The foreman, I got pictures of the foreman when the foreman left, Mr. Kelly, John Kelly, and then there was Louis. I can't think of Louis' last name, but he was a foreman. Oh, yeah. And there's one black woman in Stratford. The girl used to give me a ride every day, Mary Wright. She's still living. She's on Fifth Street. She worked there as long as I did. In fact, she retired a year before me. Belle Ward. Mrs. Ward, she lives on Mazarik Avenue in Stratford. Now, they worked there in a few years, just as long as I did.
Would you drive to work or take
no,
the transportation?
Take the bus. Yeah. In them days, they had 2 bus lines there.
Mm.
They had the gray line,
mm-hmm.
and then they had the CRNL. And the gray line used to come by the GE, used to come in from Fairfield. And that's the bus that we would take. And that would take us from downtown. Well, it come in from Fairfield. And there was a driver on there, Larry, white fellow. Of course, he was all white. But Larry was a very nice driver. And in the end of the day, well, I used to work from 7 to 3:30. And sometimes there'd be 5 buses out there, and they would be jammed.
I'll bet.
They'd be jammed.
How many people worked there?
Oh, I don't know. I was in the last, very last building, way down to the end, almost down to Hillside Home. Well, of course, it was Hillside Home then. Now it's Bridgeport Community, something or other. But it was Hillside Home then. And I worked in that last building down there. But there must have been, 10,000. It had to be.
Mm.
It was 3 shifts.
That's incredible.
3 shifts, a big cafeteria, you know, and the soda machines and everything. But, it was all right. They never, you know. I looked at some of my pay envelopes here a couple of years ago. I found a pay envelope, $26.
For?
A full 40-hour a week.
A week.
Can you imagine?
Well, there's been a lot of inflation since then.
I looked at it and I said, what? $26. I think I got it. Oh my God. Worked all week long and was glad to get it. I mean, that's after, you know.
Now, was that considered good pay?
It must have been.
That was when you really liked the work when you stayed all those years? Or did you ever think about going to some other factory or another place of employment?
No, because it was on the bus line.
Mm.
It was convenient. It was on the bus line. I get on the bus and get off at the corner. And that more or less kind of kept me there, too. I know a lot of people went to the brass and stuff like that, but you had chain buses and this thing and that thing. And as I say, I like things run smooth, so I stayed there.
Now,
but of course, I was making good money when I left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't stay there at $26.
Right.
So I worked piecework all the time. I always worked piecework. And I made my money.
Did they provide training for you over the years for new new technologies, things like that, new products?
Well, yeah, the engineers would come in and show, but they didn't retrain you or anything. You picked it up. You know, the engineers would show you how. This was all assembly,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the engineers would show you how to do and this and thing and that. And I know one of the engineers, they were timing us. You know, great, what they were great on was piecework.
Mm.
And they was always trying to get more and more and more on you.
Right.
And this day we was on this machine, as I say, a dial. And this Phillips engineer, he come in and he was watching, you know, he's going to retime it. And the thing was going, you know, it's like this, about the sides going, you put in. Everybody had a section to put in. And he was watching me with his stopwatch in time. So I said something to him, something about the work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, just keep on doing what you're doing, he says. Okay. He's writing and writing and writing. So after a while, I said something else. He said, well, I'm the
Okay, so just continuing with your story on the other side of the tape.
He says, I'm the engineer. I said, I know you. So we kept on working, standing there. And then something happened. And then he asked me a question.
Hmm.
He wanted me to tell him something. I may believe I didn't hear him. I never answered him.
Wow. You were telling him something about a problem.
Yeah,
right before.
And he told me that he was the engineer. So I said, yes, I know you are. So when something went wrong and he wanted something that he didn't understand, and